The epistle for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world. Words taken from today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is an interesting story about a Protestant man who visited a Catholic church one day. The Protestant man was an architect, and he wanted to see the beauty of the inside of a new Catholic church. Now, the priest happened to be unavailable at the time the man came to have his private tour. Luckily, there was an altar boy still there, and he graciously offered to show the architect around the chapel. Once inside the church, they walked toward the center aisle, and when they reached the middle and were just about to cross in front of the tabernacle, the altar boy stopped and genuflected. The Protestant man just stared at the boy. He did not understand the boy's action, and so he then said, "Tell me why you do that." The altar boy simply answered, "Because the Blessed Sacrament is kept on the altar." Not understanding, the man quickly asked, "What Blessed Sacrament?" Then the boy tried to tell him what Catholics believe about bread and wine being substantially changed at the Mass into the body and blood of our Lord. He explained that after the consecration in the Mass, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is really, truly, and substantially present on the altar. And after the boy had explained this, the Protestant man said, "If I thought that was true, I would come all the way up the church on my knees." And the boy was struck by the man's evident seriousness, and he felt a little ashamed for the genuflection that he had made when he entered the church was a careless one. My dear friends, in today's gospel, St. Matthew writes of our Lord's last words. They are an account of our Lord's last words not before he died on the cross, but his last words before he ascended into heaven. And the words of our Lord to his 11 apostles are called a divine mandate. It was a divine command to go throughout the whole world and baptize all men. And our Lord concluded his mission to his apostles with words of consolation. And these words of consolation apply not just to the apostles at the time, but also to each and every single Catholic. Our Lord's words, "Behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." And they are consoling words because we know our Lord told us, intends, and will remain with us to the very end of time. Even before the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, became a man, he was, even then, always with his chosen people. He was with them in their wanderings in the desert and the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, God, who created us, has been with man from the very creation of the world, just as he is always with us in one particular sense. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Blessed Trinity, whose feast we celebrate, the one true God is always with us. Without God thinking of us, we would not be able to live. The Blessed Trinity is always with us. In the sense, we say that God is everywhere. He is present in all places at the same time. And nothing is hidden from him. For being everywhere, he sees all things perfectly, clearly. Just as you and I look around and see, God sees all things immediately and infinitely more perfectly than we do. That's the sense that he was with man and being everywhere at the same time from the creation of the world and until the end of time. However, today, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, become man, is with us in another way. And this other way, as we know, is a very special way. And it is his sacramental presence with us. Even though our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, even though the Son of the Blessed Virgin Mary ascended into heaven and did leave us physically, he nonetheless left himself with us in this sacramental presence. He remained with us, in other words, on the altar, in the tabernacle. And it is in the Blessed Sacrament that Christ our Lord remains with us and will be with us even unto, as our Lord himself said, the consummation of the world. Words of consolation. That even though the apostles were sad when they saw him ascend on that day, out of sight, into the heavens, physically gone, they could still so to speak, fall back on his sacramental presence, knowing that he would be with them always, even unto the consummation of the world. For nearly 2,000 years now, our Lord has been with us in this way. He is really and truly present here in the tabernacle. His presence is real. The real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist is so great. It's so powerful. It's such a wondrous truth. It's a dogma of faith. That is, it's a truth that we as Catholics must believe. And the altar boy in the story lived that truth perfectly. He really and truly believed that our Lord, his body, blood, soul, divinity, that they were there in the tabernacle. Our Lord was present. He believed when he walked across the back of the church, just about to cross over center aisle, and he genuflected. Even though this man near him had no idea of the real presence. He didn't even know what the real presence was. He did not have the gift that we have. He did not have the gift of faith with which we are blessed. And so it was that he expressed his uncertainty and asked for the explanation. And because the boy had such a real, lively faith in our Lord, he was able to explain to the man, even at that young age, to a grown adult, he was able to tell him with confidence what he believed, to explain the real presence. It is, as I said, a great gift of faith which God has given to us, because we only see the host. We only see the bread. And this we see with our corporeal eyes, our physical sight. That's what we see. We do not see our Lord in the host. That vision would not require faith. That would be a miracle, which at times in history God allows. But rather we see him with the eyes of faith. We believe by faith that our Lord is present in the host. A gift which we did not purchase. Freely given to us by God. How we should be so grateful to him. Our Lord said in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Our Lord's own words as testimony of this dogma, of this great truth. And not just being grateful for this gift of faith which we have, but also consider how fortunate we are today to have the Blessed Sacrament with us. Today, to be able to come here and to adore our Lord present in the Holy Sacrament. How necessary it is to show our Lord our appreciation for this great gift of himself. So let us strive to be conscious of the fact that we really are when we come in those doors in the presence of God. We know it, we believe it, but let us show it. Because here in the tabernacle, God dwells. He watches us. He sees us enter the church. He knows our thoughts. He knows which pew we're going to take. And he waits for us. And as soon as we get to our spot, he waits to hear what we have to say. That's why he's here. He literally wants us to tell him our problems, our worries, difficulties, anxieties, to talk to him for help, to ask him for those things we need. It's the purpose for his dwelling within the tabernacle, to be loved. St. Therese of the Child Jesus says, remember that Jesus is there in the tabernacle expressly. And when she said expressly, that was the meaning she wished to convey to us. In other words, solely, totally, absolutely, expressly for you. He is not there for himself. There's no way. God would not leave heaven to come down if it were not for us. Remember that Jesus is there in the tabernacle expressly for you alone, she says. And then she gives the reason. And he is consumed with a desire to come into your heart. That's the reason. Notice the desire. It's not weak. It's not flimsy. It's not a desire that will come now and again. But he is consumed with a desire. To be consumed means on fire, which is what our Lord is. The Sacred Heart burns with love for us. Where? Into your hearts, Holy Communion. Let us, my dear friends, strive to be more aware of his sacred presence, to have a spark of his love for us, for him in return, so that one day we may be consumed for a love of him, like St. Margaret Mary. Practically, one small way, unlike the altar boy in the story who made the careless genuflection, let us strive to make our genuflections with more love and respect. And try not to forget the reason our Lord has remained in the tabernacle, for love of us. He wants a return of that love. Jesus wants to see that we appreciate his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Holy Eucharist, by loving him in return, by making reparation to his most sacred heart. And when distractions, another very, very practical way that we can do this is to, during prayer, when we are distracted, and when prayer is hard, because those distractions are so real. And they won't go away, and you feel like giving up. What's the use? I might as well stop praying. The devil will tempt us. Rather than give in to these distractions and temptations, turn them into many little acts of reparation. By saying to our Lord, I offer up all my sufferings, even the suffering of the difficulty I am having in my prayers. I offer them up in union with your most sacred heart. That's pleasing. That is making reparation. And think how frequently we can do that every time distractions come. This is loving him in return, showing appreciation for what he has done for us. Finally, how consoling it is to know that our Lord will not be outdone in generosity. He will not, for he has told us. Our Lord, who has remained with us all days, as he himself has promised, will, after the consummation of the world, grant, bestow, give us, who are faithful to him, to remain with him forever in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.